You are listening to the Mick and Mac GAA Football Podcast.
Okay, hello and welcome back to the Mick and Mac GAA Football Podcast. We had a late substitute today with Ross Traynor, a good friend of mine replacing Mac, who's cried off. Don't know what the story is, but Ross, how are you? Good to have you on.
I'm good, Mick. How's the form? Thanks for the delay call.
Yeah, no bother at all. You're ready for action.
Yeah, poor Kieran's going to get the brunt of my shocking bit of journalism now, I can say.
Also, delighted to be joined by Kieran Murta. What's common, Kieran? How are you?
Good, yeah. Thanks for having me, Mick. And nice to have you on board, Ross, as well.
Cheers, Kieran. We might say that in an hour's time. We might see.
I suppose we're just saying off air, how's everything been for you the last few weeks? You're a teacher, aren't you?
Yeah, primary school teacher up in Dublin. So I was lucky enough, I got home as well. So yeah, the family are delighted to have us home and just tipping around the house and getting all the jobs and stuff. But yeah, it's been a bit strange, but look, it's the same for everyone and we just have to get on with it, you know?
Absolutely. And have you been using the likes of Zoom and Seesaw and all that? Because I'm a teacher myself.
Yeah, we actually use Google Classroom, so it's a strange one again, but it's nice, I suppose, to keep in contact with the kids at school as well, and it keeps them going because it's a lot harder for them than it is for us, you know, but yeah, it's been different, but they seem to be enjoying it, and it's a good resource to have, like, it's a good app, and it's keeping us all going at the same time, you know.
Yeah, I'd say we might be using it more next year as well.
I'd say so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I suppose, Kieran, growing up, yourself and obviously Dermot and Brian, I'd say playing football, were you all doing that together in the fields and the gardens when you were younger?
Yeah. There's about two years between us all, so like we'd be fairly close, to be fair. We do have our arguments and stuff, but it's nice playing with the club and stuff. It's, you know, kind of telepathic at this stage, but we've had good old battles in the garden as well, but it's nice to be actually playing in big games with them now as well. So.
Yeah. And what would be some of your earliest memories?
I suppose having a few rows out in the garden would be the big ones. But then starting off with the club at senior level would have been a nice one when Dermot eventually got up playing senior with us. It was nice just to have the three of us playing together. And then obviously with Roscommon as well, when the three of us got to play in the one game together, it was nice as well. So, yeah.
And how are you getting on with Foley's? Are you... Senior, I know you're in the senior championship final not so long ago, but how was 2019 for
yeah, Collis? we were in the county final in 2014, and actually it seems like ages ago now, but we had a bad year. We had a bad and a good year. We got relegated out of the championship, which was strange for us now, and then we went on to win the senior league, so it's kind of weird when looking back on it, but we didn't perform at all in the championship, and we were on the brunt of a few bad results, and then just ended up losing the relegation battle and down into intermediate now. So I get a lot of slagging because I tipped off to America last summer. So, but I was home, and then I picked up an injury in the first game I came home. So it was, it's an annoying one. So I hope to try and make amends for that this summer if I can at all.
And where did you go in the States?
Boston. Yeah, Donegal, Boston. So I had a great summer, but then came home and didn't do anything when I came home for the boys at home. But I had a great summer. But look, that's the way football goes, you know.
Yeah, Dermot Connolly was out with them the previous year. Is that right?
He was. Yeah, he was there the previous year. Yeah.
And who was out this year or last year? I should say. Was there any other intercounty lads that made the trip over?
Yeah, there was. There was a good lot of big names out there. Likes of Barry John Keane from Kerry, Mark Bradley from Tyrone, Ray Kennellan, Westmead, Shane Carty, Dublin. Probably forget someone. Gary Walsh from Leash as well was very good out there. And then you had a lot of good boys. John Bingham from Louth. You know, there was a lot of good players, and you're playing against a lot of good footballers as well. So it was a good standard, like, you know.
You got your debut under John Evans in 2014 against Longford, am I right in saying, the league?
Yeah, that's correct, in the league game, yeah. And they made my championship debut against Leitrim in the Hyde as well. So, yeah, 2014, that was the same year.
So tell us a bit about John Evans as a manager. He seems like a larger-than-life kind of character.
Yeah, John was very good. I suppose he gave me my first opportunity, so I have a lot of time for John. And he brought the Roscommon team, like he brought it from Division 4 right up to Division One. So that's nothing to be, you know, to be looked at. There was actually a club man of ours involved as well, Wally Burke. He's actually our senior manager this year with the club, and he was involved at the time in 2014. So got the call in, went in early, it was probably around November, we had kind of a development panel going for a few weeks. A lot of the lads that are on the team now would have been part of that, you know, like Sultan Harney and a few boys like that would have been with us, Kyle Compton. And then we just did a few little sessions. There was only about, I'd say, 10 of us. And it was kind of nearly a trial basis at the time, I suppose. We thought it was a development panel. But then, yeah, we all got to call in then maybe out after a couple of weeks. So, yeah, it was big change moving up from under 21 level and even club level. But it was nice to get the call in 2014, and I was happy out then.
And you're suggesting changes there. Like, what is the big difference, I suppose, stepping up from club and under 21s into an inter-county panel?
Yeah, it's a strange one. I suppose I was unlucky. I wasn't blessed with height or anything, but I'd say the strength of the game and strength of players that you're playing against is a huge difference. But then again, if you have a bit of pace and if you're able to get yourself out of trouble, that can get you away from a lot of them big boys as well. But yeah, I'd say the pace of the overall game and the physicality of everything, even in the tackle and stuff, it was very demanding at the beginning. But you know, every young lad loves that as well, going into a panel with, you know, big names around the place. Like, and it was nice at the time, and you know, you weren't really fearing any of that. You were just mad to get playing for his common, and that's just the way it was, you know.
Was there any lads around the dressing room when you walked in that you were almost in awe of, or, you know, not quite scared of, but really trying to impress, or that sort of stuff?
Yeah, see, when we went in, there were, I suppose 2010 was the last kind of final before, obviously, 2014. And there was a lot of big names around, like, the big names around Roscommon, but there are also, you know, big names around Ireland as well, the likes of, you know, Shawnee McDermott, Donny Shine, Kyle Craig, all them boys were big names at the time. So it was nice to get in playing against them. Senan Kilbride was another serious forward as well, a joy to play with. Like, it was really nice to get in playing with them, and just, I suppose, you never, when you're a young lad, you'd be always aiming to play with them, but you might never think you'd get that opportunity. But when it actually comes around, it is nice. And then once you're in there, you're one of them, and that's, you know, it's every man fighting for a position. So you're learning off them, but you're obviously trying to get starting ahead of them as well if you can, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Kieran, you're obviously a top-class free taker. Is it something you've had to work on over the years? The reason I ask this question is I follow a lot of, say, different sports, like the likes of Ron O'Gar, Johnny Sexton, Dean Rock, Stephen Cluxton, and listen to a lot of what they talk about. Some of them have evolved their kicking techniques or changed their kicking techniques over the years. Is it something you've had to work on pretty difficult, or is it something more natural that you are blessed, I suppose?
Yeah, I would have always taken frees from underage, but obviously there wouldn't have been as much pressure on you back then. But I would have, like what the names that you mentioned there, like all Johnny Sexton, Ron O'Gara, them types of boys, like I'd always read their autobiographies and try and pick up little snippets of what they were doing in their kicking days. But yeah, it takes a lot of practice. And as they mentioned, Donny Shine, like, and boys like that, like he'd throw a ball down anywhere at Trenton and put it over the bar. So you'd just be picking up little bits from his type of technique. Even my younger brother, I would have picked up off him as well. My older brother used to take him for the club, but I grabbed that off him. but everyone has their own kind of a technique. There was times when I was, you know, minor, under 16, I was missing frees as well. And, you know, managers at the time, I was probably trying to force a few kicks. Like I was trying to take a free from everywhere, rather than being, you know, very accurate inside the 45 or whatever. I was trying to go out and belt them from everywhere. Like, but I just tried to really focus on my own technique, get my own actual technique, and just stick to that. Even when, if you miss a free, it happens to everybody. But it's just trying to get that out of your mind. And then we would have had a lot of psychologists who were very good at that as well. Just, you know, talking to yourself, getting all them negative thoughts out of your mind. But It was something I would have focused. I would have spent a lot of time on my own taking frees and stuff, but that's what every free taker and even non-free takers are doing now. So I'm no different than anyone else, like, you know.
Yeah, it's like you're playing an individual game, but in a team sport. That's what a lot of the kickers would say. And I tell you, you're one of the better ones out there, Ciarán. You're flying.
I don't know. It can be difficult at times because you'll always remember yourself if you missed a free. You might win a game, but you'd still be annoyed if you missed one. And then if you lose a game and you missed a free, you're definitely annoyed. And I have missed a few big ones, but I try and get them out of my mind as quick as I can. And you just back to the training pitch as quick as I can anytime I missed a free. And, you know, every new game, you just start a new slate. You try and get all them negative thoughts out of your mind. Like,
Ciarán, I suppose John Evans' time as manager of Roscommon's kind of summarised by really good league campaigns, but maybe in different championships. Was the league maybe something you focused on more under his stewardship, or was it just kind of the way it went?
Yeah, I suppose looking back on it now, we put a massive emphasis on leagues because you need to come up out of the lower divisions if you can at all. Yeah. Because the bigger teams, like, as you don't see a team outside Division 1, maybe Division 2 winning All-Ireland too often, even winning their provincial, like, you know, so it was a massive focus for us to get out of the lower divisions. And then once you get up into Division 1, into Division 2, you can maybe ease off a little bit in the league, try and stay safe, and then focus more on the championship. But that's easier said than done as well. Yeah, we probably didn't perform great in any of the championships. But I really enjoyed the management under John Evans. I suppose I was new to it. I was young. I was just mad to play ball. If there was training sessions, I was going. If there was extra training sessions, you were doing them. Like, but yeah, I'd have a lot of time for John because of obviously giving my debut. But I think he was a very good manager and he did a lot for Scotland football as well.
Yeah, and I think he claimed himself he maybe was kind of harshly treated when he left. Was would the players would have been happy for him to continue on?
Yeah, I don't think he'd come across too many boys that would have anything bad to say about John. He was, you know, he was well liked around the place. I suppose he had a tough commute up from Kerry and stuff like that. That was hard going for a number of years. But I would know the ins and outs of whatever went on with, you know, him properly leaving. It was a shock to me at the time when I got the text or whatever to say he was gone. But all the players would have had a lot of time for John now, I must say.
Yeah. Kevin McStay, Fergal O'Donnell came in. What was that kind of duo like? Was it like a good cop, bad cop, or was one kind of more of a manager and the other the coach?
No, I wouldn't say good cop, bad cop. Two very good men, two very high profile names at the time coming in as well. Like Fergal was, you know, a hero for Roscommon, and then Kevin as well. I know he played for Mayo and stuff, but he's living in Roscommon, so he is a Roscommon man now. And he trained our club. He actually trained my dad, which is a strange one. But when he was coming in, it was the two boys together. I think it's a very hard thing to do for two high profile names to try and manage a team. But yeah, in fairness, we had everything. We were, you know, we were flying at training and stuff, but I suppose results didn't look great for us. I don't know. And then like the two of them, they're two very good managers on their own, so like it's very hard to have two fellas making a decision. You look, even if you look at a primary school, you have one principal, you don't have two, like, you know. So it's just, I think when it comes to management, it's very hard to have to have a joint management. I think it's hard, but at the time, you know, we were delighted to get Fergal and Kevin and two great managers and two great men as well behind it, you know.
And tell us about that game in New York. I mean, you must have been hitting bricks.
I suppose that's the one that everyone wants to hear about. There could have been a lot of us staying over in New York that summer if that result had changed. it was a strange one. Like, there was a lot of rumours going around at the time that we went on the beer for 3 or 4 days, but I can assure you that didn't happen, unfortunately. But it was just like they actually had a serious panel that year, you know. We were going out.
Was Jamie Clark there? that summer?
No, he wasn't there that year. Okay. No. But they had a lot of boys that were on panels, like so Westmead panels and stuff that you mightn't have heard of, but they were still good forwards and good players, you know. But we went out and they just absolutely tore into us from the get go. It was a horrible day. The pitch is weird when you're playing on it, you know, and there's a strange kind of an atmosphere around the Bronx, around that area at the time, like, and just they got a little bit on top. Well, we actually started off all right, and then they got on top in the second half, and it really did look like we were going to be staying over there. And I was captain at the time, and I was like, oh, geez, the first captain ever to come over and be bad. It was actually Senan Kirai kicked an absolute wonder score that day to pull us out of fire. So, yeah, we were lucky to get out of there and delighted in the end, you know.
I'm just sort of the last sort of three Roscommon seasons. Now, I know you weren't involved obviously last year, but I was going through results, and in Connacht alone, like the last time Roscommon conceded a goal was 2017 in a semi-final against Leitrim. So the way football is played these days is very much a group effort and team effort, defending and attacking. But to concede no goals, and the teams that you guys have played in that time, like, you didn't do it soft, like, you went the hard way, and to be so solid at the back, like, that's a huge effort, collective effort from the whole entire panel. Was that laid down from the start, or was that identified as an area of weakness perhaps that you needed to work on, or how did that come about?
I suppose, yeah, we have a lot of good goalkeepers. Like, I've played with Jeffrey Claffey, Darren O'Malley, Colm Lavin, and like, they're all top-notch goalkeepers. At the end of the day, it comes down to your defending. Even your forward structure, you have to be defending as a unit as well. So we did focus a lot at the time on, you know, defending, being as a full unit. Like, and obviously, you don't want to be conceding goals in Championship, because it's an absolute sucker punch when no matter who scores against you, scores a goal against you. But yeah, we would have focused on it. But then again, I suppose you're trying to go out and win games as well. So if you're too worried about your defensive system, you're never going to break forward. So I suppose we're kind of known as, you know, being teams to rack up big scores, but that came back to bite us in a few games as well. But look, it's a hard one to nail down, but you do need to have a strong defensive plan in place. If you're conceding too many goals, it's going to be impossible to win them big games, you know?
Absolutely. Like, I just feel like that Roscommon had got the Super 8s the last 2 years. 2018 obviously wasn't a great one, but last year was definitely improvements. I can sort of see the way, like, even underage, like, with Club Rossi, like, the structures in the county seem to be really, really strong at the moment. What were your sort of plans and ambitions for this year, almost going forward? Were you back with the panel? Were you injury free? What were your thoughts really around that?
Yeah, I suppose it was 2018. We had a bad Super 8. I suppose we were a little bit naive going into it as well. You know, we were conceding big scores, like, we were nearly trying to you score, I score, like, kind of thing, and that's not going to work against the bigger teams. Like, they're not going to fall for that trap. Like, then last year, yeah, looking back at the work that Anthony and the new management team have done with them, the defense is solid now. They're not conceding them big scores, so that gives you a great, you know, platform to build off. If you're not conceding that much, it's a lot easier to win against the bigger teams. But I know they picked up the win against Cork, but you want to be beating the other big teams as well. So I suppose that'll be an aim going forward. I don't know what the system is going to be this year with regards to knockout or provincials or what's it going to be. But your aim going forward is have to obviously be more competitive in Super 8s and then try and push on after that, whatever the system might be, quarterfinals, semi-finals or whatever. I picked up the injury, as I said earlier on, coming home from America, so I was only coming right around February time, the end of February, beginning of March, and that's when, you know, everything kind of went into lockdown. So we'll see how it goes now, back training with the club next week hopefully, and see how it goes from there. And you never know what the year might bring yet.
Fingers crossed. I suppose one last thing on that side. The behind closed doors prospect, would you be pro or against, or are you just mad to get out playing football?
My own personal opinion, I'd be just mad to get out playing matches. It would be strange now to be playing. It would be all right in a club game, I suppose, because you wouldn't have an awful lot of people at the game anyways. But I wouldn't be personally against behind closed doors. I think it's just play games. Like, that's all people want to do. They want to just go out and play games. But you'll need to have some sort of a system where the games are being streamed, like nearly every game streamed for people to watch it. Because it's not fair for, you know, from a medical point of view, people that actually genuinely can't attend games. Like, it would be unfair on them. So myself, I'm just lucky, I suppose, that I don't have to worry too much medically behind what's going on. But I'm sure the GAA wouldn't let us back playing if there was any inkling of it being unsafe or whatever. So I think they're handling it well. I'm sure they'll do whatever they're told by the government and stuff. And I just want to play ball, to be honest.
Kieran, I'm going to bring you back to 2017 in Salt Hill. You're a captain, you scored 3 points in Roscommon winning the Connacht title. I imagine that's probably one of your most proudest moments as a footballer.
Yeah, it is definitely up there. It was a strange kind of year, I suppose. No one really gave us a chance at all. Like, and we knew it was the first year under Kevin. It was different because obviously Fergal had stepped away and stuff. So it was a strange year going into that final. But we were underdogs and nobody was talking about it. I don't think anyone predicted us to be coming in within a few points of Galway, which was, it's a nice way to be going into a final as well. We had absolutely nothing to lose, but we were very confident going into that final as well. Very bad weather down in Salt Hill, and we played with the wind in the first half and we just took the game to them. And we kicked a lot of wides in that first half as well. Could have been out of sight at halftime. Galway came back into the game and then we just pulled away again in the last quarter. But it was a very nice one to win. Probably the fact that we were such big underdogs made it sweeter. And then obviously being captain and stuff was the icing on the cake as well.
You just mentioned obviously Fergal and Kevin. So Fergal leaving the finals, did Kevin McStay's role as manager maybe change a little bit then? Was he more hands-on maybe? Or?
Yeah, well, I suppose the fact that it was like every decision stopped with him. Like he had the final call. When you have a joint management, it's hard to know who's going to make the final call. So it was him, Liam and Gerard Oud. And it was just the three of them. So they had their discussions and Kevin then would have made the final call on everything, I presume. And it was just different. It was like having another new management team coming in. So it was nearly like my third management team to play under in the space of three or four years. Like, so it was different, but we still focused. We still trained very hard. We still went on our training camps, did different things like that. But as I said, we were very confident going into the final and I think that paid off then in the end.
And you were just mentioning there earlier on about the Super 8s and the campaigns we had, Roscommon had. I mean, great performances in Connacht and then going into Super 8 is quite difficult. Is it the 3 games and maybe does that have a massive impact on the panel, I suppose?
Yeah, I suppose you're kind of under a little bit more pressure in Connacht too. You're trying to, you're obviously trying to win your provincial game or your provincial title. And then when you go into the Super 8, you kind of think, oh, you can... Right, I'm after winning a provincial title or I'm after doing well in Connacht. I can, you know, we're going to go out here and we're just going to beat these bigger teams as well, like the likes of Donegal, Tyrone, Dublin, Kerry. Like, there's no walkovers there. So I suppose game on game it's what every player wants, really. But if you're after shipping a heavy defeat, it's very hard to come back the following week and try and rectify everything that went wrong. But as a player, you want to be playing week in, week out, because then you don't have to be training as hard. So, but it does take its toll, I suppose. But then again, it's gone to a 20-25 man game now. So, like, teams need to be able to do that at the higher level. You need to have a good bench. You need to have lads that are able to come in and just make a seamless change. But I suppose things just didn't work out for us in Super 8 so far. But that'll obviously be a big game now going forward.
Kieran, you're working up in Dublin, and obviously, COVID aside, I presume you're living up in Dublin, are you?
Yeah.
So, as regards training, would Roscommon always train in Roscommon, or would you be able to train maybe in Dublin some evenings or some nights, or is there a bit of a respite day, or just to avoid the big commute every two or three nights or whatever you were going up and down with?
Yeah, and I suppose it's changed a lot even since I started in 2014. We were nearly commuting, you know, twice a week. So you were coming maybe home on a Tuesday and a Thursday and then heading back up. I was in college at the time, so I didn't really mind. But now the fact that you're back, I think managers, every year as you go along, they kind of learn from the previous manager or even previous teams that they've worked with. And the travel isn't as big a thing now. I think last year, I'd say they did. I don't think they were going home all the time last year. So it was easier for lads to just meet in groups in Dublin or whatever, do your gym session, and then go home when it's coming closer to league games or championship games or whatever. Because realistically, there's no point going home, you know, the minute you're back training in the winter. Like it's very hard on the body to be going through that or going back home that early. So it's managers are, I think, a lot wiser to the travel now and the impact that has on players. Now we're not the only county that players are coming home from Dublin or whatever. Everyone's doing it, but it is tough, especially if you're picking up little hamstring injuries or whatever it might be. You're obviously going to blame the travel straight away. So I think managers are, you know, they're becoming wiser to that, and I don't think it's as stressful as what it used to be honest.
And you've obviously you took a year out. I mean, is intercounty football so relentless that you maybe feel more lads are going to drop off the panel as years go by just to take a year out and maybe explore other parts of their life, essentially?
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see too many from now on playing, you know, 15 years with their county or whatever. It just doesn't seem to be happening as often. Like, obviously, there's boys that will still do it, and fair play to them for doing that. I have nothing against that. I never really went on a J1 or any of them kind of holidays when I was younger. I probably should have. And I actually regretted it, you know, for a good few years. So then we had kind of a disappointing year in 2018. I was just kind of fed up. I was like, right, I'm going. I have to see a bit of the world. And then ended up with my summer in America. And I just, you know, I had a great year. I was just after getting a permanent job in Dublin. So I knew that was secure, and I wouldn't have to be doing interviews in the summer or whatever for jobs. So I was free for the whole summer, and I just went off and enjoyed myself, and I'm absolutely delighted that I did do it. Obviously, I'm not going to go around telling boys, go do it, because you get into trouble or whatever. But I had a great year overall going on holidays, being able to go to social events, family events, and just getting to spend more time on my own watch, you know, rather than someone else's. It was nice, but I'd have nothing against boys taking a year out or whatever, but any fella that goes on and plays with his county, like, it's a privilege to play for your county, so you'd it's a hard one to step away from your county setup, but it was a good one for me mentally and physically to do last year. I just felt the time was right, you know.
Oh, I completely agree with you, because it just seems so relentless now. I mean, what would the in the middle of summer, what would a normal week be, I suppose, in the lead up to a match for yourself?
Yeah, I suppose that'll change again for player to player, but for me personally, I don't actually take an awful lot of downtime. I just nearly always feel like I need to be doing something or I'm wasting my time, do you know, that kind of way. But I'd always try and get at least one rest day in a week, and then my other, what I would call a rest day, I would be out practicing freeze or whatever, you know. But most lads would be training, they'd be doing something every day, whether that be stretching or in the pool or whatever it might be. But you'd be training, obviously, I'd say every team are similar enough. You're training on it maybe a Tuesday, Thursday or Friday, and then again at the weekend, depending on when you have a match, I suppose. But most players are going, I'd say, 7 days a week for the summer months. Just looking after the bodies and stuff. But I'd always try and get a rest day in as hard as it would be to, you know, you're always like, oh, I'll go practice and freeze or I'll go do a stretch. I'd always just try and mentally switch off at least one day. But then again, you know, it's hard to do, and I'm sure there's plenty of other players out there that just want to be at something all the time, just trying to get something ahead of their opponents, you know.
And has the culture got, do you think, too serious? I mean, for an amateur sport, like what you just said there, you're talking like a professional player.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Like it's what you grow up doing. Like when you were a young lad as well, you were training two or three times a week, and you were playing your match at the weekend as well. But definitely, I think there's more. I suppose there's more things with regards to like video analysis, and just team meetings and stuff that managers, in fairness, nowadays are trying to cut down on a lot of that, or maybe doing it just before or after a training session. Which instead of like if you're training on a Friday night, do your video work before or after training rather than having to go in again Saturday and do your video work, you know. So it gives lads a little bit more time to themselves to do whatever they want, might want to focus on themselves, whether it be free taking or get a bit fitter or, you know, get an extra stretching session in, whatever it might be. I suppose there are a lot of demands, but then when you win a big game, it makes it all worthwhile. Like,
yeah, those, almost going back to those scenes, those iconic scenes in 2017 of like, even on the Sunday game or the stills afterwards, of people like rushing the pitch, like they're on the sideline ready to go. I can't imagine what the celebrations are like. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'd say they're unbelievable.
Yeah, it's nice. Like that makes it all worthwhile. Like you don't think back, oh geez, I shouldn't have been training all that time when you win a big title, like, you know. And it was the same last year when the boys won it as well. The scenes down in Salt Hill were unreal. Like fairness to Roscommon supporters, they're very good. And then when you win a game like that, we had a good few couple of days, like it was nice. But it makes it all worthwhile, and you know, the scenes after games are brilliant, and then like the two or three days after as well are great as well.
Like you've well earned them at that stage. So I was doing, I must give him a shout out, I can't think of his name. What's the famous Roscommon supporter, the barber?
Paddy Joe, the barber, yeah.
Paddy Joe, that's the one. What a legend.
He's an absolute loyal supporter now. He's a very positive man, and you know, we brought the trophy and stuff into him in 2017, so that was nice.
You get the haircut.
Could do it one now.
I suppose one last one for me, Kieran. I'm always interested to find this. So the best player you've played with and the best player you've played against over the last few years.
You can include Donegal Boston as well, by the way.
That's a very hard one now, to be honest.
Probably your brother.
With Roscommon, I suppose I think Enda Smith, I think, has everything. I suppose you might have heard that before, but he has his speed, you know, his height, his skill. Like he's played with the international rules team. He's captain of Roscommon now. I think he has everything going for him. He's being unreal. If you watch him in club games, even at training, you know, he's nearly always good, if you get me. He's very good, and I really enjoy playing with him. It's, you know, I know his movement, he knows my movement at this stage. He is a joy to play with. I suppose then in my own club, I've played with a few good players, like Gary Cox would have played with Roscommon. I only got to play a couple of games with him. He was coming near to the end of his career when I was starting off, and then he moved to Salt Hill. He was savage, just even the couple of games I played with him, even watching him, I thought he was excellent. My older brother actually doesn't get a lot of recognition on the county scene, but like he's been the captain of our club the last 7 years, I'd say. And I think when he's missing the game, he's as big a loss as anyone. Like, and I think he's a brilliant player. He has it all upstairs. He can pass the ball, he can score, he can tackle, and he can play him anywhere. So with the club, I think I really like playing with him. I think he's a massive player for us. Doesn't get the recognition probably with the county teams that he probably deserved over the years, in my opinion. So I think he's excellent. Over in Donegal then, it was Gary Walsh from Laois was excellent over in Boston. There's another free taker that you'd learn a lot of. Barry John Keane, I thought, was excellent. And Mark Bradley as well was very good. Like, they're just they're on a different wavelength, you know, that kind of way. And I just like boys when they're a step ahead of people. So they're nearly 3 or 4 plays ahead of some of your average players, which I think is brilliant, and it's a great attribute to have. So it's a hard one. Best player I ever played against. Actually don't know what that one would be now. We've got a few beatings in our time. But I would have played against Kerry in a league semi final when they were flying it. Gooch was playing that day, he scored a goal against us in Croke Park, like, so be very hard to look past him. He was someone I always looked up to, so yeah. I always thought he was the best player ever, so I played against him, so I'm going to go with the Gooch for that one.
I'm glad you didn't say a Dublin player there, Ross would have been delighted.
You were a diver.
Kieran, yeah, that's a hard question, though. It is, though. Hard one to think on the spot, you know.
Absolutely, I'd put you on the spot there. Kieran, that was brilliant. Thanks very much for doing that.
No bother at all, lads. Thanks for having me.
Cheers, Kieran. Best of luck for the rest of the year.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening in, and don't forget to follow the Mick and Max GA Football Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and we are on Spotify.